Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from 970 ESPN and Steelers Nation Radio, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves chilling, talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave. He's Dave Bryan at SteelersDepot.com, the place to get your latest and greatest Steelers information. I'm David Todd of ESPN Pittsburgh and the Steelers Radio Network. Season 6, Episode 89, and NFL free agency right around the corner for us here on a Monday morning. It'll be Wednesday at 4 o'clock, Dave. And the Steelers, very quiet on the south side over the past 10 days. Finally, announcement this morning. I don't think a surprise to either of us. Kind of was number three guy on my priority list. The Steelers signed Robert Golden to a three-year deal.
Yes, indeed. Not a huge surprise. The number may be a little bit lower. I projected Robert Golden's market value a few weeks ago to be $2 million a season. It obviously came in a little bit lower than that. The initial report is 3 years. $5 million, which put, you know, the average yearly salary for Golden then would put him just a little bit more than what he earned last season. And for those that may have forgotten, Robert Golden was a restricted free agent last offseason, and he signed a one-year restricted tender worth $1.542 million. So he gets a slight raise. Like I said, I had him valued at $2 million. It's a good signing. You know, all the way around. In no way does that indicate that Robert Golden will be the starter this year. However, he will. One would figure that he would be able to compete for the starting job opposite Mike Mitchell. And at worst, he will be probably your special teams captain again this year.
Yeah, I think this is, you know, you signed your core special teams guy. I think you said it exactly right. He'll compete for the starting safety job across from Mike Mitchell. I would imagine the Steelers would like to upgrade either through the draft or free agency if they can do that. But Golden showed he was more than adequate last year. I mean, he was a capable guy that back there. And, you know, with the Steelers going more to dime personnel last year later in the season and Lawrence Timmons expected to be back on the inside, I would expect them to play even more dime next year. So if that's the case, you know, the number of snaps he plays will go up even more. He's obviously in just on about every special teams play. So I'm a little bit with you. I think I suggested the same to 3 years, $6 million would be kind of the number, and the Steelers get a bit of a discount there. The devil you know for Robert Golden, for sure. This is a system that he understands now. You know, he's been here for a while, and he's got a role, and he obviously likes it. So nice. We haven't seen what the signing bonus portion of the salary was. Maybe it's $1 million, maybe it's a little bit more than that, but this is not going to be a big cap hit for the Steelers, and you know, they got something done. And now we'll see over the next 48 hours if there are more signings out of the south side or if there are any cap casualties. And that's the other thing that the Steelers, although they haven't signed anybody, they haven't waived anybody, and we're starting to see kind of, we've been seeing kind of dribs and drabs of that over the last 2 weeks. Today, the most notable one is RG3, as he's cut by the Redskins. That's no surprise. The Redskins held on here for a long time, I guess, in some kind of Fantasia land hope that they were going to be able to trade that contract, and that wasn't going to happen. So now he's a free agent. And in about 45 minutes, teams are allowed to start contacting players and agents who were scheduled to be free agents. So the negotiations will start, and then Wednesday at 4 o'clock, you know, we'll start to see some of the immediate signings and then, you know, things following through after that.
Yeah, and as far as possible cap casualties go for the Steelers, you know, it's easy to put Cortez Allen at the top of that list, but I should point out that the crucial time for Cortez Allen will be immediately after the start of the new league year, because if they were to cut Cortez Allen and want him to be a post-June 1st designated cap casualty. They could not do so until after the new league year starts, which is Wednesday night. So if we're having, you know, come Saturday, Cortez Allen is still on this roster, then there's a good chance that he's going to stay on the roster throughout, you know, training camp or through, you know, into training camp to give him an opportunity to compete for a starting job one last time. It doesn't mean that he still couldn't get cut, but in my opinion, that would be the best course. Because look at it this way, if you're going to cut Cortez Allen and not make him a June 1st cap casualty, you probably would have already given him a courtesy cut by now.
Yeah, I think, Dave, you and I have been, I'm sure, completely in the minority on this, that we think the Steelers ought to bring him to camp. They have easy access to restructured, you know, cap money in Ben and in Cam. And look, if at the end of the day you've got a guy that you want to sign, or you've got something to do, and it's a question of cutting Cortez Allen, okay. But it doesn't look like the Steelers are anywhere close to that position right now. And with that being the case, it doesn't seem to make sense to me. You've carried him to here. I'm sure they've allocated their draft money budget and that type of stuff. That's not anything that's going to catch anybody by surprise. So, yeah, I don't see it. I don't think we'll see it. I think Cortez Allen will be in camp. But again, you know, I know you and I are in the minority in that.
Yeah, and we'll see. Like I said, I mean, you would think if he's still on this roster come Saturday, which is well after the start of the new league year, that he's going to be around. And if they were going to cut him prior to then, they would have already done that, in my opinion. Now, you know, who else could, you know, possibly be a cap casualty? I know some fans are thinking Lawrence Timmons, but as we've said all along, we expect that number of Timmons to come down in some way, shape, or form, either it be a 2-year extension or a flat out, you know, which I don't think is going to happen, a flat out cut in base salary. But that's another guy. If you couldn't already work out something with him by now, and if your intentions were to release him, you know, he's been a Steeler long enough and been a good player, you know, a good member of the organization, that you would have already made that move as a courtesy to cut him by now. As far as other names out there, I mean, I don't see who else could possibly be a cap casualty at this point, really.
Yeah, I mean, it would be something unusual if they decided that Matt Spaeth, for whatever reason, were done. You know, I'm with you. I don't see any obvious candidate that even to save a couple million bucks that they could find. So, yeah, we'll see. You know, as I say, Golden was number three on my priority list. I think Gay and McClendon, you and I have talked extensively about that. Those would be the other two guys here. I think it's pretty clear that Ramon Foster is going to get to free agency at this point. There's very little reason, if you've come this far, if you're any of these guys, not to at least start fielding phone calls at noon today, which all of them could do. So we'll see where things are in that respect. And effectively, if you get to the next 45 minutes, you've gotten a free agency in terms of being able to contact teams and do all of that legally, assuming that nobody was doing that before, which is a grand assumption. So that's where things are with the Steelers, Dave, and it has been a very quiet offseason today.
Yeah, and we'll learn over the course of the rest of this day. We're, of course, recording this at 11:15 right now, Eastern Standard Time. And for all we know, they could have already had the ink drying on some restructures with Roethlisberger and Cameron Hayward that might leak, you know, because teams obviously are not obligated to announce that kind of stuff. That stuff usually leaks out after it happens. You know, one would think that at some point Roethlisberger and Cameron Hayward would have have those restructures done. We already talked about Timmons and something possibly being done there, and there's still time to get something done with McClendon and William Gay as well. So could be an interesting afternoon after we hang up on this podcast.
Yeah, we'll see where things go. Okay, Dave, let's just touch on Peyton Manning. People are going to be inundated. You know, they have been for 24 hours, and they will be for the next 24 hours. It's his press conference will take place a couple hours from now. Best regular season quarterback of all time?
Oh, yeah. Hard to go against that, right? The guy, let me tell you, whenever you always feared playing Peyton Manning because just such a student of the game. I think I heard an interview first thing this morning, Tony Dungy on Mike and Mike talking about preparation for that Super Bowl against the Bears, how Manning went back and watched every single Bears game that season and that's not a rare occurrence for him. Such a big student of the game. If you were able to, as we saw the Steelers in the playoff game this last year, you might be able to shut him down for three quarters, but at some point he's going to figure out what you're doing. And I think along with some missed tackles, and of course the Steelers helped hurt their own cause late in that game against the Broncos in the playoffs. He was still mentally on top of his game. Now physically, there were some ducks the last couple of seasons. So overall, I don't think anybody is caught off guard with him hanging it up after a long career. He'll be a first ballot Hall of Famer, and some of his records will probably, I don't know, how long will they last, David?
We're not going to see some of those broken, I don't think.
Not in our lifetime, probably.
To me, it's a very interesting discussion about Peyton. And this is, of course, putting the sexual assault case and the HGH stuff to the side when evaluating what happened on the field. Everybody can make their own determinations of how they want to view him on those situations. Dave, I'm just curious with his playoff record, which I think finished something like 11-10 or something crazy like that. He did win the second Super Bowl this year, and I think when you look back at the overall body of work, that's going to be significant in how people view him. I think if he had finished his career, let's say the Steelers had beaten him, and he gets knocked out there, it would have been, I think, the 10th or so first playoff game exit for him in his career. I think I would have a little bit of a diminished view, but I still don't, he still was not a great playoff quarterback, and we can all, think of different reasons. Obviously the caliber of play in the playoffs is extraordinarily high, but I think that keeps him in my mind from being the best quarterback of all time.
Boy, he had some discouraging losses during the playoffs, didn't he?
Absolutely.
You could even include the Steelers one
for
in there,
sure,
right?
Sure, that's in there. He didn't finish that drive that led to the Vanderjack field goal. He had chances in that game.
Certainly did. And, let's not forget, Bryant McFadden made a huge play in that game as well, too, right?
Down that right sideline? I'm trying to remember the play.
It would have been to the Colts left.
Colts left, Steelers right sideline, yeah.
Right, and
almost
just got
beat in the back of the end zone.
Almost, and it just goes to show you how that Vanderjack missed field goal had so much bearing now on a few careers. Because how are we looking at Jerome Bettis? His career,
sure,
had that gone south, and obviously Vanderjack makes that field goal. What's the outcome of that game? His body of work is there. The fact that he should have probably won at least one more Super Bowl. The Seahawks just took it to him, and that defense the Seahawks had a couple of years ago against Peyton, just goes to show you that if you were able to get pressure on Peyton or any quarterback for that matter. What a huge difference it can make in a big game such as a Super Bowl. But tip your hat to him. What a great career. And as you said, we might not see some of those records broken in our lifetime.
Okay, in terms of other things that you've seen, Dave, the Redskins cleared 20 of cap space today. That's significant for them, obviously. Surprising report that the Jets and Ryan Fitzpatrick aren't close and that he's going to get to free agency.
I would think the Jets do something last minute, right?
Yeah, I don't have any idea what they think of Geno Smith, but they're not going to go in with Geno Smith as the one and only answer at the quarterback position. I mean, maybe they give Geno another shot and look for another Ryan Fitzpatrick. But, Fitzpatrick, great for the Steelers that he was awful in their last game, but he did have a pretty good season. And I feel like he's Well, look, here's the thing. No quarterback in the NFL makes between $5 and $15 million. So maybe the Jets are saying, you know, we'll give you a one-year $10 million deal or a two-year $20 million deal. And he's just saying, you know, there's no market. That's not the market. And I would imagine that's very much what's happening. And he's asking for $15 million, and I'm not sure I'd give him $15 million.
Well, this is his last chance at a cash grab. He obviously has, I think, 1 year left in him, so you have to be careful with the guaranteed money there for sure. But you know, with the Jets, and I'm not convinced Geno Smith's the answer. And obviously, if you go out and draft a quarterback this year, you know, going to be a grooming of some sort and adjustment to the league that needs to take place as well too. I just feel that they have to get him locked up somehow, some way. In the coming hours, and I think they will. Now, what that number will be, I thought I heard a number tossed around like $6 or $7 million at one point over the last couple of weeks. I don't know, where do you value his worth at? $10 million?
Yeah, $10 million. I mean, I'd give him $10 to $12 million.
Yeah, you know, like I said, as long as you're able to structure that right with the guaranteed money that you could obviously cut him. I think you want him around for 2 years. Even if it has to be at a backup role in the second of 2 years, but much more out, you know, further out than that, that's when it gets dicey. And look, there's enough teams around the league that might have the cap space to bring him in for 1 year as a starter at $10 to $12 million, right?
Yeah, well, it's, you know, you look at the market now for the free agent quarterbacks. It's Brock Osweiler. He's gotten a big offer apparently from Denver, or an offer that, you know, 3 years, $45 million plus. So he's available. Ryan Fitzpatrick's available. RG3's available. Who else we got out there that is a?
What's the status on Foles?
Good question. I don't know. Chase Daniels, I think, is available and been talked about. Bradford signed. Foles, I don't know. Foles and Hoyer, what their status is?
Let's see. I thought I read something about that earlier this week, but I'm not entirely sure. Let me pull up his contract right now. Okay, he's still under contract. In other words, the Rams were thinking about possibly trading him. He's under contract through the 2017 season. He has evidently some guaranteed money in there as well too. So the Rams would take obviously a cap hit. But didn't the Rams come out this past week and name? Oh, who's the guy that ended the season as a starter?
Case Keenum?
Yeah, as a starter. So, you know, I think the Rams are actively shopping Foles right now. So that might be an option for some teams around the league as well, too, being as how he's under contract through the 2017 season. He's scheduled to earn, in 2017, $10.75 million in 2017. So, you know, take that for what it's worth.
Okay. other guy, Logan Mankins, announced his retirement. We saw that. The Colts signed one of their corners to a smaller deal. I'm just trying to think if we had other news, Dave, that's kind of jumped out at us here. I had somebody kind of who has some sense of what's going on say that he thinks the Steelers will take a good look at Jermaine Gresham as a potential candidate at tight end. I don't know if you've changed any of your thoughts about who's out there in the market and who the Steelers might talk to, but you know, there is no kind of available information out there as to, you know, what the Steelers are doing. So it's all a bit of guesswork.
Yeah. Any tight end that they wind up signing, one would think would be, you know, $2 or $3 million a season category. And Gresham, has had injury concerns in his past. You know, obviously not a long-term guy. It would be a one-year Band-Aid more than anything else. Dwayne Allen, he gave an interview, a couple interviews during the combine, you know, saying the right things. It's hard to read into too much when a player's coached up by an agent such as Drew Rosenhaus to say all the right things. But he gave you every indication that it is his hope and that it is in his gut that he'll re-sign with the Colts. But obviously that has not happened yet. And with the legal tampering period now really almost upon us, it'd be interesting to see how that plays. Regardless, I can't see the Steelers going after any high dollar. You know, I know people get mad, David, and I know you get this on Twitter, and I get it every offseason on Twitter as well, too. You know, are Steelers going to have interest in this guy? Are the Steelers going to have interest in this guy? But, I mean, when you just – and I posted a lot of the history of the Steelers, you know, free agent activity during the Kevin Colbert era. You know, recap that again a few days ago, and – you know, there's no any indication whatsoever that you know, the Steelers are going to go out and sign a high market guy. You know, I think we were all a bit surprised that when Mike Mitchell was signed a couple of years ago, and that was a 5-year, $25 million deal. And, you know, if they do dabble in free agency, it's only going to probably be one player that has a significant number.
Sure.
And you know, maybe a couple of under the radar guys after that, but I mean, history just doesn't say that they're going to do that, you know. And it's hard to go against that, knowing the Steelers, you know, the way they like to handle their off-season business, which is generally re-signing their own and filling in a hole or two here or there with under the radar free agents.
Okay. What else you got for me? I feel like maybe we should do this podcast in installments every 2 hours and come back and see what's happened at 1:30. But
let's recap the five biggest ones during the Kevin Colbert era. And by biggest ones, I'm talking about big contracts. You know, everybody will say, well, why did you leave James Ferrier out? Well, James Ferrier, believe it or not, that was such a cheap deal many moons ago. 2002, 3 years, $5.4 million for Ferrier in 2002 when they got him. I went back and researched all this, and here they are in chronological order. Kevin Colbert's first year, 2000, Kimo von Ohoffen. That was a four-year deal worth $10 million. Good signing. Ended up being a good signing. It helped them get Casey Hampton into the lineup as a starter in 2001, his rookie season. And after that, Von Ohoffen went on to kick out to defensive end. He went on to play six seasons in Pittsburgh. The next really notable one was in 2001. That was Jeff Harding's. He signed a six-year, $24.75 million contract in 2001. That was big money back then, for sure. And you know, he was brought in to replace Dermonti Dawson at the time, who had been released a week earlier. And he earned Pro Bowl honors in 2004, 2005, and was voted actually a first-team All-Pro in 2004 as well. The next big name really didn't go all that well, and I'm talking about running back Deuce Staley. 5 years, $14 million in 2004, and it seemed like we saw Deuce Staley in a sweatsuit more than we did a Steelers uniform. And he ended up being released late in the 2016 season, you know, and had been signed, as I mentioned, to a 5-year deal in 2004. The next one is probably one of the worst ones of the Kevin Colbert era. Sean Mahan, remember that?
Yeah, that was I think definitely one of the worst of the era.
Yeah, 2007, 5 years, $17 million contract. You know, they really had to do something because he was brought in to compete with Chucky Okobe at the time, as they were looking for a replacement for Harding's, who had retired, and Mahan really won that starting center job by default because of Kobe had missed so much time during that training camp in the preseason with injuries. And, you know, lo and behold, they had to trade him back to the Buccaneers.
Well, which is amazing that they were able to, right?
Yeah, and got a seventh-round pick for that. You know, at that point, you're hoping for a ham sandwich. You know, so that was, as I mentioned, a 5-year, $17 million contract. And really the most latest was Mike Mitchell, 2014, as we said, a 5-year, $25 million contract. So when you talk about the Steelers being active in free agency in the high dollar market, what we would consider a high dollar market, only five players dating back to 2000. Now, in some of my other research, David, and what we would call true unrestricted free agents in the Kevin Colbert era, I ran down a total of 37 of them, 37 over the course of 16 years. That's not a big number.
2 a year, basically. 2.2 a year.
Yeah, and you got to remember, I forget how many I counted up, 13 or 14 of those were guys that were like 1 year minimum contracts, you know. So, I mean, that paints a very good history of what the Steelers have done in free agency or haven't done during free agency during the Kevin Colbert era. Real quick, what do you think about the Steelers seemingly being interested in quarterbacks at the combine?
Well, I just looked at the Pro Football Focus's article this morning on the kid from Bowling Green named Matt Johnson, who they think is the best developmental quarterback in the draft. You know, look, here's the answer: is if they want to stay cheap and they feel like Landry Jones is a guy. And they're not going to bring in a veteran like Gradkowski, which, again, surprises me. I thought that was an easy answer to that question. If they're not going to do that, well, then, you know, you probably do have to look at a quarterback in round five or something like that. I'd be disappointed if they looked earlier than that. But if somebody like Johnson or you know, I haven't looked at enough of the other guys, is available in the fifth round, then, okay, they did it. It wouldn't kill me. I mean, I was really disappointed when they made the pick Landry Jones, as I think most people were. I'm sure they will let some of this free agency quarterback situation play out here over the next 2 weeks and then look around. I don't think anybody's beating down the door to Bruce Gradkowski. If they bring Mike Vick back, I'll be shocked and amazed, shock and awe. That would be insane in my opinion. But you know, we'll see. What are your thoughts?
Well, the thing is, you remember, you said fifth round draft pick.
They don't have one of those. They don't have a fifth round draft pick.
They don't have a sixth
round
either.
Right.
So now they looked at who was it? Adams, the kid out of you know, reportedly met with him at the combine. Undersized. What is he like? 5'10" or something? He would be a guy potential seventh round selection. They reportedly met with Dak Prescott, but you would think if you wanted Dak Prescott, you'd have to draft him in the third or somehow.
Oh yeah, I think Dak Prescott's long gone.
You know, third or fourth round is when you would probably have to take him. There was a report that I think they met with Cody Kessler at the Senior Bowl, but that's another guy you would think, you know, seventh round potential there. Due diligence, or you know, are they serious about this, or is this just them stacking their board and saying, hey, if we get in the fourth round, third or fourth round, and these six guys are off the board who we have ranked ahead of them, you know, are we willing to take Dak Prescott here?
Well, yeah, you know? I do think it's important because, you know, as we, you know, we talk about, and Kevin suggests every single season, he said, you know, we look at these, you know, we were familiar with that guy coming out of the draft, and it could be whomever it is, whether it's the kid, I'm drawing a blank on the kid they signed from Buffalo who went to Duke, who played this year, the corner.
Oh, Ross Conner.
Yeah, so you know, if you do your work on all these guys, and then something happens that they're a street free agent, or you know they get cut at some point along the way in spring training, you don't have to go kick the tires. You've got a file on everybody. So I'm sure they've got a file. Just like, look, they had to go out and find a quarterback when Gradkowski got hurt. You know, I'm sure they didn't have to do a lot of work on Michael Vick. But you know, in the past, we've seen them bring in guys in camp, and so they, you know, they'll have a file on these guys and their thoughts on them. So it doesn't surprise me. I think it's part of the job.
And here's another thing to keep in mind: is Landry Jones is entering the final year of his rookie contract. So,
right,
you know,
and, right. That being the other point of that. Yep. So, and if you don't sign the veteran, you almost have to. Well, obviously, you have to have him because they're going to have three quarterbacks.
Yes, and you know they signed the one former undrafted free agent as a camp arm earlier this off season. What was his name? Dustin Vaughn. Give me Vaughn.
Major league.
Yeah, a little major league reference there for. But I mean, let's be quite honest. I mean, we don't expect him to at this juncture, you know, make the final 53 man roster. I mean, obviously they're going to have guys that can throw during the team's rookie mini camp. Landry Jones will not be allowed to do that. So you're going to have to get another.
And let's be clear, he'll be too old. He will have, it's a rookie mini camp, so.
Right, right.
It's not that he's injured or anything like that.
Right, right. He'll be eligible, of course, take part in the OTA practices, and we're only talking about 1 weekend there. But I mean, at some point, don't be surprised if the Steelers add another quarterback, either a former undrafted free agent, or last year who was the kid out of Clemson, Taj Boyd. That they signed to be a camp arm and obviously didn't last very, very long in training camp either there. So I will be disappointed if they spend one of their first four draft picks on a quarterback. But the fact that they're looking or met with Dak Prescott at the combine is a tad bit concerning, I guess.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think Prescott's one of those guys that.
If you were going to draft a guy in the third or fourth round, that would probably be the guy.
Yeah, I think there are people out there who think Prescott might be, the fourth quarterback gone after Paxton Lynch. I mean, I don't know. I think Cardale Jones and Christian Hackenberg are extreme wild cards that could go anywhere from – I think people would be surprised but not totally shocked if they were taken at the back of the first round. And if they both fell to the fourth round, I don't think anybody would be shocked about that either. So I think Dak Prescott is going to go in between there. I think he will go, as you said, second or third round.
I guess we can recap a report, and not a shocking report by Jerry Dulac this morning. Team not expected to re-sign veteran safety Will Allen. That shouldn't be a huge surprise to anybody. The thing is, though, should the Steelers ultimately change their mind after the draft, Will Allen's not going to get any attention. Will Allen will be a unrestricted free agent for quite some time. And, if you did need to re-sign him at any point, for all we know, Will Allen might just want to retire. Right.
Yeah. Apparently the Steelers had to talk him out of retiring last year. So and I don't know that anybody told Jerry anything. I think Jerry's just connecting the dots, and it's all things that we've talked about before. And, the signing of Golden take priority over Allen. They're not expected to sign Allen. That's not breaking any ground there.
Right. And as far as the re-signing of Golden on Monday and the effect that has on Shamarco Thomas, it's really none. Because Shamarco is, he is what he is. He's a special teams player right now. He's entering the final year of his rookie contract. His cap number is well under $1 million for this season. So regardless of what happened with Golden on Monday, regardless of what happens in the draft when it comes to the safety position, Shamarco Thomas should be allowed to compete for a roster spot later on this offseason. Now, whether or not he makes the final 53-man roster is yet to be determined, but let's just be clear that the re-signing of Golden on Monday really – means nothing to a guy like Shamarco Thomas at this point.
Right. Totally agree. All right.
Kat, there was Kelvin Beachum was on Sirius Satellite Radio earlier this week talking that he's had ongoing, discussions with the Steelers, but, nothing imminent there. He's really gearing up for free agency. And he said he and guard Ramon Foster really have been leaning on each other quite a bit this offseason. They're both looking forward to the process. So unless something changes here in these last several hours, one would think that both those guys are going to hit free agency. You would like to, if you could get at least Foster back on some sort of team-friendly deal, you would like to see that happen for sure because, Foster still, I think, has a season or season or two left in him. And we beat the Beachum horse quite a bit. I mean, while you would like to have Beachum back, I mean, I think Alejandro Villanueva showed more than enough as the season wore on that he can handle that spot, on the left side. Now, the Steelers did apparently meet with Ohio State tackle Taylor Decker during the combine as well. But Decker, according to, if you pay attention to Mike Mayock's pre-combine rankings. I think he was the fourth-rated tackle on his board. So, you know, that would probably indicate that if the Steelers were seriously interested in Decker, they'd have to take him probably with their second-round pick if he was still on the board at that time. So unfortunately, I don't think we'll have to see how the rest of this week plays out with you and your schedule.
Yeah, and let's not rule out possibly doing a podcast on Thursday morning. I'm going to be in Florida covering the Pirates in spring training. So unfortunately, I don't know exactly my schedule, but there may be some time on Thursday morning if there's news out there. I've got to play it by ear, but I hope our listeners, if there's breaking news as free agency starts, that's worth covering. We'll try and get something out there.
All right. McClendon and Gay going to be re-signed before the start of free agency.
I think I'm going to go, as I've said, they're my one and two priorities. I'll go 85% on Gay and 70% on McClendon. So I think yes.
I'll go 80% on both of them. I just don't see how you don't get it done with both of them. But
they get to have a vote in the process as well.
Yeah, and looking at what guys like Bryce McCain just got from the Titans, it makes you wonder where Gay's number's at, and more importantly, where Brandon Boykin's number at. If you're a Steelers fan right now, and you're accepting the fact that they're going to lose Brandon Boykin to free agency, you want that contract to be lucrative, if you know what I mean. And you want him to play well wherever he winds up playing because of potential compensation with the compensatory draft pick formula as well. So you expecting the Steelers to make any moves whatsoever during the first night of free agency?
No, I don't think it's happened. I don't think it's happened in the Colbert era. I don't think in the first 24 hours he's done a deal.
I'll have to look at some of those early guys talking about Von Ohoff and I have to because start of free agency back then was like the end of February
sometimes at midnight.
Y'all have to research that. But in recent memory, no. In fact, Mike Mitchell a couple years ago, that was on the first full day following the first night of free agency. So. We might have not a lot of stuff to report after the next let's say 12 to 18 hours here, but we'll monitor it. And as David said, if he's able to join me on Thursday or Friday, he'll do so. At worst, I'll have Alex Kozora sit in with me on Friday. So anything else? We kind of drew this out, seeing if anything come across the wire, David, and I'm not seeing anything.
Okay, well we will we'll be back at it in some way, shape, or form later in the week.
You can follow me on Twitter at Steelers Depot. Follow David Todd on Twitter at David M. Todd. Follow the show at Terrible Podcast. Email the show, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. If you want to donate, go to SteelersDepot.com. You'll see the donate button in the navigation bar up there to the right. And that's all I got, David.
As always, thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave.